This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! This is In the Conversation, and this is Damian Lemon.
And I am Ali Muhammad checking in from Cadillac Studios in Los Angeles, California.
Woo! Wow! Cadillac Studios, huh? On the LA side of things.
In the lack.
That's what's up. In the back of the lack. All right, I can dig it. What kind of Cadillac studio is it?
Which what's this, the XTS?
Oh, it's the XTS room?
Yeah. Right. XTS room, you know, wood grain.
Okay.
Paneling,
okay. You know? All right, that's what's up. But you know what? I know you out in L.A., Cadillac Studios, and we're going to definitely talk about this L.A. trip that you on and talk about this Oscar situation. So with that said, I had to bring in a friend to the show. I just spoke about him on the last episode. This is our resident movie critic, cinephile. This man is making the rounds out in the world. I'm hearing him on these other podcasts, giving the motherfucking the content. So I want y'all clap it up right now for Chris Lambert.
What's going on, y'all? Ooh. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Mm-hmm. What's going on? And we got Matt in the building, too. Matt, what's going on with you, young man?
I'm just glad to be here another week.
All right, there you go. I like that. I like that positivity. fellas, how we doing? Let's talk about it. What's going on? Ali, you are our man on the scene.
Yes.
Oscars 2018, pardon me. What did you think? Let's talk about this shit.
Well, say, bro, man, it was like this, man.
First, did you watch it?
I was on the plane. The weather wouldn't let me be great. So I had a flight that was supposed to leave out Friday. And you know, we had the winter storm scenario. And they canceled all the flights, and then by the time they rebooked me on a flight to come to LA, the only thing that was available didn't land till like 8 o'clock on Sunday.
What was that? So, the private jet?
No. We're not there yet, brother.
Don't you want to up airways?
No, I would have made it to the show if that was the case.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I ended up finding a plug and getting the plug, but I would have had to be here early enough to secure the ticket.
Damn.
So yeah, it was all bad, but it was all good at the same time.
Yeah.
So I didn't even get to see the nomination. I didn't even get to see the announcement because I was in the air, and you know, it wasn't a good JetBlue, so it wasn't no live TV. So when I landed, all of the text messages was coming through, saying that we didn't secure the trophy.
Nah, it's overrated from what I understand, this Oscar thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, it's a trip because being in the conversation. You know, no pun intended, pun intended, is the win itself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, for Laura, she was the name on the trophy. She would have been able to take the trophy home, right? It was her baby, she directed it.
Right.
And edited the mug. So she would have took home all the glory. She's still getting the glory. For me, it's more... The win is in the mindset. It's like a change of mindset. It's like the possibilities open up a little more. Not that they weren't there before, but it's a lesson in possibilities. Like, you know, it's the same work you've been doing. You know, it's the same thing. It's nothing new, nothing different. Except for now you're thinking about it with a little more care. And you're thinking about it with, okay, how can I take this to the next space? Not as far as winning an award, but how can I take my whole scenario to a next place? And just by being in that conversation, your mind automatically switches to that place, which it shouldn't take nothing like that. You know what I mean? You should be able to switch your mind to a place where you fully think you can go to higher, higher, higher heights, but sometimes you need a impetus, and the nomination was that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes shit, you might not even fathom how high you go, you know? But
exactly. Some things, some rooms you don't know there until you see them.
Heaven is a traffic jam on the 405.
That shit ain't heaven.
That is a horrible-ass name. That is the name of the doc that that won. Shout out to Lord Checkaway, though. Shout out to Edith and Eddie. If y'all get the chance, go check it out. I think we're going to try to get Laura on the show sooner than later. But, yeah. Chris, what were your thoughts on this this awards evening?
Well, I thought there were the biggest surprise to me was Jordan Peele winning for Get Out. I thought that... I was happy that it won, but for a movie to just go like wire to wire from February of 2017 till March 2018 was pretty fucking amazing. Like, because just being a fan of film and fan of just kind of seeing who wins and whatnot, you're conditioned to look at a movie like Get Out and say, that's good, getting it on DVD, I liked it, getting on Blu-ray or whatever. It doesn't have a chance.
Felt like it was too early in the season.
It was way too early. And
did you feel like it didn't have a chance just off the strength of the movie or just off the strength of the release schedule?
Everything.
The whole shit.
Because of the content, because of how it was aiming at liberals, like liberal white people.
Right.
It was very pointed, very in your face, very contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like just with the with the history of the Oscars, when black films get the love, they seem to get just the we slaves now, you know, like you know, like go ahead.
Well, finish your thought. Go ahead, keep going.
Finish your thought.
Yeah, I just felt like I was happy, mm-hmm. and when it got the nominations and it kept getting the all the awards and everything, I was really excited. So it just made me root for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy that he won. Because that was a pretty stacked category, too. Because you had Kumail and Emily. You had Lady Bird, which I thought Lady Bird was going to come away with something. Mm-hmm. I thought Jordan and Greta were going to split like best screenplay or best director. And then Shape of Water would get best picture, which it did. But I was happy for him.
Mm. Yeah, I thought. It had a chance in two different places, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
One, because it was just definitely a black movie per se, but it was it gave all of the savagery that, you know, we all come to know on the show that the Oscars needs a little savagery,
mm-hmm.
which is usually portrayed in slave scenarios or something like that. But as in, we saw last year with Moonlight that, you know, if you take a subject matter that liberals are associated with and give it a very thoughtful spin and a look that you've never seen that makes you sit back and be like, huh, and rethink what you're thinking, then I felt like it definitely had a chance because that was what it did to me.
Yeah, and Moonlight was a little different because even though it was a contemporary piece, it still was just that it was still as beautiful and fantastic as it was still like a black struggle movie. Hmm. Even though the kid's trying to find his sexual identity amidst being in poverty and everything like that, which
trying to find it amongst these ruins.
Yeah. Cause I was a Barry Jenkins fan ever since Medicine for Melancholy came out. So I'm like kind of a hipster
since his shit was in black and white.
Yeah. Since his shit was like, you know, with Wyatt Cenac and Tracy Hedden. So if your listeners haven't seen it, it's fucking fantastic. It was just like, it was something that came at a time where it was like, you seeing black people dealing with complicated issues and being complex characters in present day. And Moonlight was fantastic. So I just thought that this being like, just Get Out was just like really in your face. And
yeah,
but I was impressed.
But what they did, though, they gave them that reverse savagery. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? They took the black bodies and put them in servant type of roles.
Yeah.
But then in reality, they were really white people inside of there. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like reverse savagery. He used the tools against the people who usually wield mm-hmm. the tools.
Right.
So I thought it was brilliant in that, how they did that.
Yeah.
I think Donald Glover does a lot of that in Atlanta as well. It's like giving you these tools that they use against us and then use it back on them in a way that's thoughtful mm-hmm. and makes you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what I thought was interesting. Matt, did you have something you wanted to jump in on? What you said?
I mean, I said last week that I just didn't think Shape of Water was the best film out there. I'm kind of curious. You thought it was going to win?
Yeah, because like the Golden Globes, it was like, what was it? They won a bunch.
Yeah, so it won a bunch of the Golden Globes. Why does that mean it should win? I mean, can you explain to me why it was actually the best film? Because
I didn't say it was the best film. I just said that it was going to win. Like it didn't. Fair. Like I read a blurb where it said it was a safe choice because it had everything that you needed it to have. It was like a fairy tale. It was set in what, like during the Cold War era. It was like. You had issues with there was racial stuff. There was spies. There's queer. It had everything.
It was easy to have a message of giving the voice to the voiceless kind of thing.
Yeah, and like if they really wanted to do something, they could have gave it to Get Out, or they could. I mean, Coco. Coco was probably the best movie I saw last year. One of the best.
Really, I haven't seen that one.
Coco
it's
was good. I haven't
great.
Seen it.
It's really good.
I haven't seen it. I say this with The Shape of Water. I had the screener, and I looked at the first certain movies. You just look at the movie poster, and you check out immediately. Like, I'm not fucking with this. It looked like a dancing movie, like they were dancing in water. I didn't realize what the movie was. I didn't think it was about anything that it was about. And then when I found out those shots, when I found out Octavia Spencer was in there, I thought it might have been a struggle film because Octavia is good to pick up that, you know.
Yeah, well, it's that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, that was another day at the office for her. And when it came for the nominations, it was like, really? This is what we doing? Like,
you was she struggling in it? She had a little struggle.
She was a janitor. She was a cleanup lady.
But the main lady was a janitor.
They were both, and her husband was the shittiest black character of 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was her husband?
Her husband was. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it on the plane. What happened?
At the end, he just gave.
Our plane landed right before it ended.
Oh man, he.
This motherfucker. Spoiler alert. I watched it on the plane, but the plane landed before the shit was over.
For real, it landed right when the main guy who was under pressure to find the amphibian man.
Yeah, he was
interrogating the dude when he had him when he found out he was Russian.
Yeah,
the plane landed right during the middle of that interrogation.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna check out of curiosity.
It is a good movie,
right?
You know, like if you immerse yourself, you give your suspension of disbelief. It's a good movie. It's a good Hollywood movie. It's not a surprise that it won. It was a safe choice. It covered all those bases that we talked about when you're dealing with race and you do. But it's just like, I felt like the ending was kind of, I don't want to spoil, but it's just like, go ahead.
I think there were at least like four films that were nominated for Best Picture that just had as good of a message and were more beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. I like The Big Sick.
I'm surprised that wasn't nominated.
It just got the writing. It's just like, I was thinking like Holly Hunter could have got a nomination.
She could have got a nomination.
And you could have took Octavia Spencer out. You could have took out Mary J. Blige. Mudbound was.
Well, I wanted to ask you that because I heard you say you could have took out Mary. Now I'm going to say I didn't watch. I've watched 15 minutes of Mudbound. Again, sometimes when that struggle is around, I don't need. I will say this. Black Panther is the best chaser for a slave movie of all time. So it's great. But now, there wasn't no Black Panther before Mudbound, so I watched 15 minutes in and I seen the part when the shit was about to turn to some struggle. I was like, nah, nigga, I had to click out.
Right.
Did you watch Mudbound?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
It's execute, like, Dee Reese handling, I don't know how big, I don't think that budget was that big.
Right.
And the way she filmed War,
right,
all that good stuff, mm-hmm. the cinematography, paint by numbers, that was fine.
Right.
If you really wanted to give her love, you should have gave her love with Pariah like years ago.
Yeah.
So what she's going to do after this, I'm excited about. now that I said that, Mary J. Blige didn't really do much.
She didn't do much?
She didn't really do much. Okay. You could have gave Tiffany Haddish a nomination.
Really?
You could have if you wanted to say, if you really wanted to do something, you would put Tiffany Haddish in one of those slots. Mm. And in a year that Lori Metcalf and Allison Janney, you knew they were going to win. Right. It was a toss up between those two. But if you really wanted to make some noise, make some headway.
So you were saying it more like an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Put her in the conversation.
Because I said on another, like, you had her all up in the videos. You had her on the announcing the winners, and you had her all over the red carpet. Give her that opportunity. But what I think is going to happen with Tiffany Haddish, I think she'll get a serious role, right, and she can't nay-nay,
mm-hmm,
and she will lock in, and mm-hmm, she's eventually going to get some love.
She's going to kill that
love.
Shit.
She'll be good.
I just want to say this, though, back to the whole Get Out winning and everything.
Uh-huh.
And bigger than that, I noticed just my own little observation, and I'm probably guilty of this myself, there's like this managing expectations as black people that watch the that of have course. Any black people that, so for instance, like off top, like Get Out, I thought the shit was amazing off the top. Yeah. I was like, this shit is crazy, this is amazing. I like how he flipped the horror genre to tell a story about race in a way that was like, oh, he manipulated,
yeah,
you know what I mean, that was crazy. So I was like, that's just innovative right there, they should be recognized. But then as it got closer, you have to manage your own expectations, because you try not to be too disappointed, right? So you're like, I don't know. I mean, first of all, it's been a long time since Get Out came out.
Right.
Did Black Panther take some of the shine, like as far as the media hype away from? Are people even thinking about it? Can they think about two black projects at the same time? Can we go back to back black? I know Moonlight just won. There's no way they're going to give it two black situations.
No, they're then not going
to
do it.
Because we had a little party. We was at the crib. We had some people there. It was some black people in attendance.
Thanks for the invite.
No, hey, listen, it wasn't my situation.
I'm just giving you shit.
But I'm saying that because I did get a, you know what I mean? Some people hit me like, yo, you know, what's popping? I was merely a guest. Anyway, I'm being real talk. Anyway, but I'm gonna say this though. When Jordan Peele won the screenwriter shit, rather than joy in the room, everyone's like, "Well, he's not gonna get Best Picture because he just like it's it's the funniest shit." This whole like keeping our joy and expectations in check.
We have to do, like, we've been conditioned, and you can't.
Conditioning is conditioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
damn.
They shit, though. I mean, we talk about this every year.
Yeah.
Right. They shit. You know what I'm saying? They're going to do it how they want to do it.
But we still dress up and get fly.
Yeah.
Just to hesitate a little bit. Like,
yeah. Buy flights and go cross country.
Yeah, right.
Get there and be hyped and all that shit. And to be on the inside of that, mm-hmm, and to feel how that feel on the inside.
Yeah, how it feel?
Just regular. You know what I'm saying? because for real, because it's like, you already managing it.
Right.
And it's like, the project we did was a homespun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was something we did like we normally do. It was no budget, no studio, none of that. You know what I'm saying? So the other shorts that were in the category, some of them were produced by bigger companies and Netflix and shit like that. So it's like
Drake at the Grammys with a mixtape.
It's like Jay-Z. We ain't even supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying?
How can we see it? Because that shit look compelling as fuck.
It's on Vimeo. It's on Vimeo.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. So you go Edith and Eddie, like the plus sign.
Yeah.
Edith plus sign Eddie. And you can check it out there.
But
when you going, like, you know what I'm saying? I know it's probably harder for Laura because, it, you know what I'm saying, it's her baby. But, like, when you're sitting there, you know, you're like, okay, if we go and we win, then, okay, this is the conversation.
Right.
But, you know, if we don't, shit, we got to, you know what I mean? Either way, you got to get back to work. Because, go ahead.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of times, like, we tend to try to manage those expectations and you try not to, because it seems like a lot of time in this age, take being black out of it, but not, well, not, like, it's like me with black quarterbacks. Like, mm-hmm. I love black quarterbacks. I'm usually even keeled about most issues, but not black quarterbacks and okay. black actors. So if something happens, like when Cam Newton does something or says something stupid, I'm just like, oh.
Right.
And when he's in the Super Bowl, like, because you try not to be emotionally invested. Right. You try not to be, I want to be above it all. Right. I'm going to be an observer. I'm going to just not have any feeling or anything attached, because when it doesn't go your way and whatever it is, it's easy to just pull away and say, well, it didn't happen, so.
We was invested.
Yeah.
I remember that was yeah. a, that felt like, I felt that one. I'm not, you know, I think that was the year of the shootings. This was getting shot. We needed yeah. a win.
And you know, like, and the same thing with Russell Wilson when he threw that interception, like, and they didn't run Marshawn Lynch in the,
that was stupid.
Fucking stupid. But you know, with this, I felt the same way. And like I was telling you guys earlier, it's the conditions. It's we've been conditioned to feel this way. Right. And still we rise.
There you go.
Right, and as the general public and us on the outside watching it, you take on more, probably more of the emotions than some of the people who are actually going through it. Because on the inside, you like, man, I already won. Shit, you know how much work I'm getting thrown at me? Because, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because right. the name is in the conversation. How much opportunity that I'm about to shake and bake on, the win is already won.
Right.
I hear that.
But, you know, again, as a systematic public, we have to look at it more critically and look at it like, yeah, as a, they're doing this to all of us when they do one of us wrong.
Yeah. And I think it's time, like it's time to just really, it just everything just seemed a little off. Like, we paid all this lip service to Me Too. But you still, like, you take out James Franco, but then Gary Oldman wins. And then last year Casey Affleck won when he had, you know, allegations against him, and Denzel didn't win for Fences, which was the role of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, with that was frustrating to me, but again, I was still I was like, Casey's gonna win. And when he won, I wasn't shocked. Mm-hmm. And then even I know people didn't like Roman Israel, not a great movie, but Denzel was terrific.
I watched that on the plane as well.
He killed that shit.
He killed it. Because I thought, like, you know, it's Denzel is Denzel, and he's one of the greats. But with Fences, it was like he had a gear that I'd never seen before. And I was like, well, it doesn't get any better than that. And just this performance in Roman Israel, it was just like, fuck, I never seen him do that either.
So, yeah, man. But on Roman Israel as a movie, man, they just never really gave you a...
No, they didn't, but...
If Denzel wasn't in that movie, we would not be talking about that movie.
But it's kind of like...
It was depressing all the way through.
But it's kind of like...
That one little scene, though, where he went and got them little turkey burger.
Yes, sir.
That was the best fucking scene of the whole movie, where he got his little reward money and splurged the fuck out.
Fat Boy Narnia.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
But as soon as I saw the cash, I was like, this can't be good.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it felt like LeBron in the finals. Like, LeBron was great.
Terrible
still
team.
Terrible fucking nobody else showed up. And it's not even...
Nah.
But I want to shit on the cast. I don't want to shit on the cast, but the script.
Well, I'm not even going to say LeBron in the finals, because people still watched it. You know what I mean? I don't think... Like, I don't think Roman Israel... I don't know anybody besides you and Ali... I haven't heard too many people talking about Roman Israel.
I bought it.
Oh, it's out for sale already?
I bought it at Walmart because of that performance.
The reason I saw it was somebody said, man, I can't believe how good that movie is, and nobody saw it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, man, so when I saw it as a selection on the plane, I was like, man, that's the first thing I watched.
Yeah.
Then that damn Shape of Water shit, I watched that. You know what I mean? It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
But, you know, it was like, come on.
What did you guys think of Kobe winning?
It was interesting that he won, like, to your point, in the Me Too era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Time's Up era, right?
Right.
But he was exonerated.
He beat the case. But beyond that, what bugged me out was I kind of felt like I didn't know enough about this shit to say if he should or not win, but I felt like they was like, fuck that, that's Kobe, give him a trophy. Like, oh, and not to diminish that man, because Kobe has been like, I don't want to diminish anything he do for the fact of how he played ball, right? The fact that how he went hard at ball, like, I feel like I seen the little Mamba documentary he made about himself.
Yeah.
He take everything serious. So I don't feel like there was no lack of effort. I feel like the shit was thorough. You an NBA player. You're a celebrated NBA player. So I'm sure resources is all gravy, right?
Right.
Not to, you know, I'm not diminishing it. I didn't see the shit. But I did feel like when I first saw that photo with Laura, Meryl Streep, and Kobe Bryant, I can't tell you nobody else in that photo. I saw Laura because I know Laura. I saw Meryl Streep because she's Meryl Streep. And I saw Kobe Bryant because he's Kobe Bryant at the Oscars. I'm like, Kobe Bryant about to get a fucking Oscar. I can't see it not happening. He not going to. And he did.
But the shit. But see, the thing is about that short, it was well written. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
The animations was dope.
Okay.
And the storyline, it was controversial to a point. That's what got people even talking about it.
I haven't seen it. Where could I see it? Is it online somewhere?
I'm not sure. I know when it first dropped, it was like covering it, probably one of those ESPN or something had it up.
Yeah, and when he got his jersey retired, they played it too.
Okay.
Yeah, so the thing about it was it had talk value. People were talking about it because they felt like some parts of it were controversial and he was, you know, talking about, you know, the devil and shit. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, what the fuck? Like, it was the writing on it was provocative.
You don't hear people talking about the devil.
So I don't know about the other shorts, the animated shorts and what the fuck they was talking about, but his was provocative. You know what I'm saying? The animations was dope. And then he was narrating that bitch.
Yeah. He was narrating that bitch. I mean, shit, man. He was Kobe Bryant. He's called 81.
With all of those elements, if Kobe Bryant got the notoriety and he do something good, shit, you know?
I think
get that man his trophy.
Shout out to that man. I think he cracked a lane open because I think LeBron going to try to get an Oscar. Now it's something that just on a big scale, nobody even thought. Like, when I first saw that photo, I said, look at fucking Kobe Bryant. Oh, he about to get an Oscar. I saw it and just said, this shit is so odd. Kobe's getting an Oscar. And I think it's just going to open the whole shit up. Jordan might circle around trying to get an Oscar. I already seen people saying Jay-Z trying to get an Oscar.
All of these people are in the movie business.
Right.
Like, LeBron and them guys have been there for a while. So I think Kobe is, like, coming a little late to it, but he was smart. Instead of doing a full-length joint, he came out with a short and did the best short that he could do, which... And even in our case with the documentary short, the producer who came in to finish the film, he suggested that, you know what I'm saying, it'd be a short because you have enough to make a great short and just under enough to make a good long form. You know what I'm saying?
What's the line of demarcation before it becomes I think it's 20 minutes.
The shorts is 20 minutes and the long form is an hour and some change. I don't know, but I don't know the rules. There's a lot of rules to this shit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you do stuff on your own, you just be making up your own rules. You know what I'm saying? Right. You did this, so you that. But when it comes to the actually putting who's going to be what on the Oscar and shit, it's certain rules that apply to each position. That person had to have this amount of da 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 in order to be considered a producer. The da 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 is only could be one. Even if three of us shot on the film, only one can be the main center for the principal cinematographer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's a lot of rules to it.
Speaking of trophies and everything and awards, you know, I don't want to sort my man's path to the EGOT, but I gotta ask you. Is Common turning into Morgan Freeman, dog? Like, where is Common at right now? I'm a huge Common fan, but this spoken word Common has been killing me for a while now. And this nigga narrating everything Morgan Freeman passing on. I like the movie shit, but I've been quiet about it. I've been quiet about my common critique because I'm a big fucking fan. But I'm seeing darts come out. I'm seeing a lot of folks. You had to check somebody on the Twitters.
Yeah, I had to check somebody on Twitter, and it's not like that because it got mad. I was hot.
You got tight. You're a big comic
fan. What were you hot about?
A fellow comedian said Common is corny.
Say that man's name. Give him a shout out.
Shout out. Yeah, shout out to Dan St. Germain. Yeah, real funny dude. Writer for Superior Donuts on CBS. Mm. Funny dude. Funny bloke. And he's like, Common's corny. And I was like, what did I say? I quoted the tweet, and I was like,
don't do this.
Please don't do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I stand by what I say.
Oh, double down on that shit.
And I was like, man. And another guy got at him, too. And I was just like, because Common is in my top five. Mm-hmm. And
let's be down.
All right.
Could Dan not voice his opinion on Common because he's a bearded white man? Let's be all the way real.
That's part of it.
Okay. I just want to know. I see we got a bearded white man in the studio.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut right now.
Nobody wants to know what Matt thinks about Common.
That changes the complexion of the whole conversation. Like, uh-oh. I didn't know that. I thought it was another black comedian.
I saw another one tweet about him. And I was like, I'm not going through this again. I gotta get up early. And then I saw a couple black people on Facebook that talk shit about him.
Very Smart Brothers, the website, did a whole thing calling Com, you know, dad rap, talking about a lot of the shit that a lot of people have pointed to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of what, you know, Com is doing. I mean, he's fucking getting nominated for Oscars, right?
Yeah.
But he's doing like these anthems, these like... You know, it's very elder.
Freedom.
It's very, you know what I mean? Stoic. Hey, like, look. Well, listen, as I said, I don't want to assault nobody's path to the EGOT. And I understand everybody got to evolve and glow up, right? However, my thing with Common is I still see Common as a fucking rapper. So I be looking. I haven't found myself like, nigga, Common, this spoken word staccato shit that he's been doing recently. I need old school hungry Common, hungry like that.
He ain't hungry no more.
He's
not hungry in that, like not in that way.
I just saw him do old school Common with Robert Glasper.
At the Tiny Desk joint?
Nah, at the Museum of Natural History, I think it was.
Okay.
In December.
Okay.
Robert Glasper played, and he came out and he freestyled. He did a real freestyle.
Well, Common's going to freestyle every time, for better or worse. Common's definitely he's like a hip hop purist. He's going to freestyle. I just feel like it happened a long time ago. It kind of happened around like when Brown Sugar came out. Shit became a little bit more palatable, strategically so. It has yielded him a lot of success, but it's just like, when you listen to that, I'm not going to say I like super ignorant Common, because I mean, back then he was on some ignorant wild shit.
He evolved. Like I think the Can I Borrow a Dollar to Resurrection, like there was definitely a shift. And then like you started to see that growth, like probably like after he had his daughter, when you know, One Day It'll All Make Sense came out. And he had that Retrospect for Life joint with Lauryn Hill, and he's thinking about that. He's always talked about, I'm raising my daughter. I'm going.
He used to have his father on the albums.
Yeah, he had his dad. Yeah. Like, so.
But he used to always have some shit on there where he would say some crazy shit. And I haven't heard that in a while.
I don't like
Calm doing what Monique didn't do, goddamn.
What's that?
Calm playing the game. Oscar. And he was like, hey, they gonna go. He's still like a go-to, so he gonna give them what they want, huh? So he can, you know, stay in the damn conversation.
I think, but see, I don't know why he can't be multifaceted. Like,
and he
I
is.
Feel
y'all
like
just only see him in these on the big platforms.
But people
y'all don't
are
go to the Common show.
Yeah, I've seen enough Common. Like, I lived in Chicago for 5 years. I've seen him quite a few times, but like.
What have you done for Common lately?
Ali talking like he go to the Common show outside of a check.
No, what I'm saying.
I took Common out on 5 days, and it wasn't a great experience for the financials. So
right.
I already have
you ain't doing it for the love, though.
No, I didn't.
All right. That's all I wanted.
But,
But I
did it for the money, and I lost. So to even be having this conversation means growth for me, because I couldn't talk about comedy for a long time.
Oh, shit. You was at the shit like, can I borrow a dollar?
Exactly. Nah, but can I get some of my dollars back?
Right. Oh, man.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting to me because I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, like, Ice Cube's growth. I was thinking about Ice-T. I was thinking about Snoop.
He suffers.
Like, I just watched recently Snoop Dogg's show, his Netflix show called Coach Snoop, mm-hmm. where he's a football coach.
Right.
And where he used to be, like, murder was the case that they gave me, and, like, spitting hard and all these great fucking albums and stuff. And then now he's, like, he's gray-headed, dreaded guy. He's coaching football. But it works for him.
Is that worse than him being on the show with Martha Stewart?
No, I don't see. I personally don't have a problem with it. I think
I would rather see Coach Snoop than Martha Snoop.
Yeah, I liked it. What I'm telling you is that I don't know why isn't Common given that latitude? Because if you look at it, like, if you start with Resurrection,
right?
One day it'll all make sense,
right?
Fucking Like Water for Chocolate. A lot of people
talking about shit this 20 years ago.
No. But I'm saying, like, that's and then, like, Water for Chocolate, a lot of people didn't like Electric Circus when let me finish. And then you get B. That's five albums. That's
right.
Five like amazing classic albums. Like, he's done, like, as far as hip hop is concerned, like, he's done enough for me. That's a legacy. You know, how many rappers have two good albums like that that last long.
That's a lot.
He's done that. But when you talk about latitude, somebody like Snoop had that latitude coming in the gate.
Yeah.
He was a gangster talking about murder was the case, and grandmas loved him. You know what I'm saying? He was on fucking Sesame Street at one of the motherfucking puppet shows, and he did a T-Mobile commercial with Lee Iacocca. He, you know what I'm saying? He's always had that range because
prime
some reason,
Snoop.
Everybody fucked with Snoop. Snoop was a superstar when he came out, and he has a latitude. He has it.
Common was more underground. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. I don't have a problem with it because he's helped, like, to be, like, full disclosure, like, he's helped, like, his music helped me. It helped me, guys. Yeah, I used to.
You should hold that man in regard to how you feel about him.
Yeah, like, so I just.
But everybody ain't got to agree.
No, everybody don't have to agree, but, like, that Very Smart Brothers article, like, it made, like, part of it made sense, like, because he even mentioned my all-time favorite Common song, Invocation. Like, I come up on stage to that shit sometimes, and, but he says some shit about, like, B, where, oh, that's a great Kanye album. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That was a bit of a hot take.
I
see what he's saying on there, but that was a bit of a hot take. But to that point, B came out in 2005. That's 13 years ago.
It's fine.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
the last one was pretty good.
I fuck with Calm. I fuck with Calm. I'm a big Common fan. I just missed the Common that was a little bit more. And I guess the evolution, that's the cost of the evolution, right? Maybe it's on me to eat that. You know what I mean? But the cost of the evolution, what I listen to, old Common, because I know he still got the love for hip-hop, the fact that he still pop up in freestyle every so often, right? Let me get a little bit more edge on them bars. Like, Black Thought is your peer. Black Thought ain't take no edge off his bars.
Well, Black Thought is, like, I mean, he's also in my top five. But I think...
I mean, Black Thought ain't acting like Common. And that's the thing.
But Tonight Show.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, you know, Common out there, he's acting. He's getting this political thing on. He's killing it. He's doing his thing.
And Common is buying, like, he's solo. So, you know, Black Thought is part of a collective. You know what I mean? So Common is out there on his own trying to figure out how to stay eating.
Right.
You know, when he not eating, y'all not there to say, man, them bars, man, saved my life.
Well, they did.
He like, well, save mine, motherfucker. So he trying to stay good. So he's doing, as a grown man, he's evolved into a place where, okay, I'm good doing this and I'm good doing that. And those things take time away from being edgy and in the studio.
I don't have a problem with them doing it. This is my thing.
I'm saying I'm sure niggas look at me like
I ain't the nigga I was when I was 19.
I would hope you wouldn't be. You know what I mean? I would hope my peers
look,
would.
I'm not saying go grab a gun or go smack up a woman or no shit like that. All I'm saying is I want to see a nigga dunk again. You know what I mean? Like, if you walk in, if you're still in the league,
gone, baby, them knees is gone.
You still in the league. I'm not going to get as excited about the post up.
Like Vince Carter.
You know what
Carter,
I mean? The little set shot. Nigga, okay, that's cool.
Vince Carter doesn't have anything to offer.
Right, right.
Well,
how
did you, I mean, we talked about, I guess, how you felt about Jay-Z.
I mean, I think Jay-Z, I mean, Jay fucking, this 444 was like, yo, here we go.
Yeah.
With no ID, who's Comm's man?
Right.
That's one of his corner men. Somebody can get in his ear, Comm. They ain't heard that. They ain't heard Lonnie Lynn in a minute. They ain't heard Sheed from the Shy.
Yeah.
They done heard all of this spoken word, I rise Mahalia Jackson ass shit. That's cool, but we out of February, brother. Summertime on the way. Let's get some ignorant cornbread calm one time for the kids.
I think he can still. I think he can still do it, but I'm just not mad at him. I'm just like, it's almost, God, it's almost like, I mean, do rock stars get the same? I don't even know. I'm looking at me.
I mean, I'll say this.
I know that, but I'm just saying, like, do white artists get that? Do you say, like,
I'm sure they do. Your core is your core.
This guy's fucking up.
Your core is your core. Back to even the Snoop thing, right? The cool thing about Snoop is, as wild as he could go with Martha and Snoop, and then as fucking poignant as he could be with Coach Snoop, you go on that man's Instagram, that shit still gets a little ignorant.
Yeah,
you watch GGN, that shit is still Snoop, smoking blunts, talking shit. Like, he's still, you know.
And he about to drop a gospel album on y'all.
Right. After just dropping some shit that said, Make America Crip Again, less than 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Snoop owned that whole shit. Now, you know, again, shout out to Khan because he on his way to the EGOT. I just would like. But I'm always this cat. I would love to.
What's the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
You know, the writer, one of the songwriters for Coco has a double EGOT.
Yeah, I heard about the cat that won.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got the.
He wrote the fuck out of them songs on Coco, man.
Is he fucking with OT Genesis?
Who is that?
Oh, man. The ultimate.
I'm in love with Coco.
Oh, that
shit was hard. Speaking of some ignorant shit.
Oh, shit.
I tell you some shit that I'm fucking with right now. This is fresh off the Shazam, because that's how I discover shit now. Like, who that?
Hold on.
This cat, The Deacon. The Deacon is a record called Motherfucker. The Deacon. Yo, go fuck with The Deacon, Motherfucker. That is my shit. Motherfucker by The Deacon. He sponsored the podcast. Him and Fat Tire. What else is going on?
Fat Tires, man.
We out here, man. We living life,
no
man.
Fat Tires in Cadillac studio.
Well, you can't record with alcohol in that studio.
Especially
out there.
Nah.
Yo, did y'all see Atlanta?
Yeah. Cat Williams got to get some nominations or something.
He killed that shit.
He was fucking great.
That little run at the end, he was out. That shit was...
Hey, and you said it right too. That little
he got it off, but he did the little. You know how you make yourself go faster by making. He killed that shit.
Is that recurring or is it just that one hit?
I don't know. I don't know.
You never know what that show shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The main shit might not recur on that line.
Right.
So.
Shit, this episode's with no Donald Glover.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I thought that shit was dope, man. I thought it was a great cameo. I mean, you know, I fucks with Cat Williams, so anytime Cat Williams can shine. Because I think he fights against a little. It's gotten smaller, but there's always a little wave of hate. I think in him or what?
Just
a wave of hate against him. A little respectability hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cat's kind of diminishes shine a little bit. Like sometimes that, you know, I've heard him referred to as a stool fucker. You've heard that term or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a stool fucker.
Like you just like hump the stool and stuff. You know, like.
Oh, wow.
Cat is a performative comic, one of the best. Even if he is fucking Stu sometimes, when he does that, that shit is funny as that motherfucker go hard.
Yeah.
He play hard. Like, he sweat out his perm every special. He done ripped his shit. He's compelling. He's going to have some funny shit. Like, I fucks with Cat. Well, I even like the new special.
He did like 15 minutes on Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was just a lot. Yeah. That was a lot. It did 15 up front on Jacksonville. But beyond that, after that, that shit is funny, man. I like Cat, man. I like to see him shining because it's, you know, he kind of like one of those, I don't want to say, but he's one of those entertainers, comedians, whatever, that their shit be precarious sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Where you like, I hope everything good. So when you just see a motherfucker do it right and performing and, yeah, you know, it's always good to see. So,
yeah, he's got to get some love for that. I mean, I hope, I'd like to see him in that role again. It was just very grounded, very, had a lot of gravitas, and
right.
Yeah, he was on point.
Well, I mean, it's a solid role, as is, you know what I'm saying, somebody in the immediate family. So.
Right. It could come back. Yeah,
it could. It's left open for it to come back.
With an alligator.
The alligator, the gold gun. You know how they play. All that shit liable to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see what happens with that robbery that took place at the beginning.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Man, it was ill.
Nobody got hit?
Nobody. All of that.
Didn't the girl, what the girl?
She might have got shot, but she might have got hit a little bit, but it wasn't fatal.
Yeah.
She was bugging off the fact that she was even in the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she got out with blood, but you know what I'm saying?
Somebody might have been
somebody
else.
Did the car pull off? Or maybe the, I don't know.
The car pulled off.
Yeah, who know?
Yeah.
Who know? But that shit was, that was a hell of a cold open.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with nothing.
Playing FIFA and shit.
Per se. You know,
yeah.
You know how they bring shit back.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, snap.
Right. Right, man.
It's real slick.
Oh, shit. What else is going on? What's going on with y'all, man? What's popping?
Hey, man, I'm out here running the town, man. Doing meetings.
Yeah.
Like my pops, I talked to my pops before I got on the plane to come out here.
Get that hustle.
I put it on my Instagram. He said, he's like, you know, you got to get it while the glitter's in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. That's hard.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get it. So, you know, it's a good, it's even like I said, without the wind, that shit is a good conversation starter and people put a lot of, gravity on it. It's like, you know, oh shit, like, okay, well, what else you got?
Right.
what we doing, you know? So, and I haven't really, you know, we used to do this, we used to do LA a lot, you know what I mean, and doing meetings and all that, and I haven't done it like that in a minute, probably like 7-8 years since I've been out here just doing wall-to-wall meetings. Every time I've been out here lately is just come in, do something, jump back out. So I kind of forgot how good I was at that shit, and two, how effective it is in your business. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't get nothing right then, just to get in front of big companies and people at big companies and them being interested in what you have to say gives you a lot of energy to take back. You know, like, you know,
always a good thing.
If you don't close it, you're like, well, shit, let me make these necessary steps right here to take advantage of this right there. And so it's been fun. So I've been doing that for the last 2 days, just running and running.
That's what's up. How long you out there till?
Well, it looked like it's about to be a snowstorm in New York tomorrow. I was supposed to come back tomorrow night. So I'm not sure. They already sending the alerts like change the ticket.
What's that weather looking like out there? What y'all dealing with out there?
Wow, man, it's looking like L.A., man. It's not one cloud in the sky.
Oh,
it's
goodness.
Approximately it's 79 degrees where I sit. And, you know, sitting on a quiet, lovely West Hollywood street.
Yeah.
And it's all good. Yeah. I see what Vlad was bragging about.
Yeah, I was saying, holla at Vlad while you're out there.
I did.
Okay.
He was supposed to hook up last night, but, you know, he switch the schedule.
Okay, dumb. Well, shout out to Vlad.
Hollywood Vlad.
Hollywood V-L-A-D.
V-L-A-D.
Yeah, so it's good, man. Yeah. It's good. I'm having a good time.
What's up with you, man? What's going on with you, Chris?
Just doing comedy, auditioning, doing a, working on a pilot on this week for NBC. Just trying to glow up. Right? Is that what the kids say?
I think so.
Yeah.
Did you have a couple roles lately? Let them know what you've been on.
Yeah, I was on High Maintenance on the first episode.
Did that start yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, I got to check it out. I just saw the commercial for it. They said Fridays. My bad, I got to go check that out.
They're on, like, episode eight.
Oh, you're on episode eight?
Huh?
Oh, you said you were on the first
episode.
I'm on the first episode. I think they did about eight. They're okay. Yeah.
Now, I got
to
watch.
Now, when they switched from being short form to long form.
He's got a theory.
Now, I don't have a theory. I had a gripe.
Okay.
Because I was a big fan of the short form High Maintenance. And then when they did the long form and they stretched it out to 20-something minutes or whatever, it seemed like when they added diverse characters, mm-hmm. they were always in a negative stereotype.
Okay.
Was your role in a negative stereotype?
No, I was just I just played a maintenance guy. Like there was, they cut out.
Oh, okay.
They cut out like Octavia.
Did you have shoes on? They gave you shoes to wear. You had barefoot.
I had shoes.
Okay, we'll find out.
Did Common make your intro music with the poem?
Another brother.
Another brother. Sweeping on the
seeds of Reggie.
Making money to raise his daughter.
Nah, go ahead. So
you a maintenance man? What?
I was a maintenance man, and it's supposed to be after something bad happened on the news. It's supposed to be like you know, like basically Trump getting elected, but they don't necessarily mm-hmm. come out and say it. And it was just like people. I say hi to the guy, mm-hmm. and then some. There was a part where they filmed but didn't use where this middle-aged black woman, old black woman is like getting money out of the ATM. The money flies out because of the wind, and then like the whole community helps her. You know, it's like how everybody's kind of coming together after something bad happens to the nation. So that
and they didn't show that scene.
They didn't show that scene.
The community of black people, or community of
everybody, black? Everybody,
oh, okay.
Like all the denizens of Williamsburg.
There you go.
That little Williamsburg corner. It was cool. Like, there was a cool shoot, you know?
I like the show. I didn't even know it was all the way back. I got to check it out.
It's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? Well, at least this season is kind of like the Master of None episode, the I Love New York episode in season two. I was kind of like, you know, it had the African guys that was working at the burger spot, a cab driver show. You remember that?
Not really.
It's like the joint. Ali remember. It's kind of like the joint where.
What else happened in that episode?
There was a deaf couple.
I remember the deaf because it was deaf for like 2 minutes. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that whole show this season.
So it's like an homage to.
It's not even like an homage, but I'm just like giving you a framework to like you know what it's kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the vibe of the show, and then the Ben Sinclair's character mm-hmm. is you know a mm-hmm. part of their lives indirectly.
Are there recurring characters from the last season in the web series or no? They
a couple, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's straight.
Yeah. I had the side eye on them. Man.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, man. That's how you gonna do it.
Oh, because I was a maintenance guy.
No, not you.
I'm talking about in general from the last season. Once they went long form, and like you go through all of the like when he got robbed, it was the black guys.
When they were
at the school, it was the black and brown kids that were. Like ruin the asexual guy's whole life.
Oh shit!
It was, you know what I'm saying? It's always when something bad happens, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was black or brown, and I was like, before when it was very short and it was limited characters and they didn't have to build in other characters. You know what I'm saying? You didn't get that, but as I was, you know what I'm saying, in my mind, I was like, oh wow, this is how y'all really feel.
I'm
disappointed because I used to like this show. Now I don't know.
The views of Ali Muhammad do not reflect the views of Chris Lambert.
Of course not.
I was happy
Everybody
to be on
that.
The show, and then I got
the
a paycheck.
The views don't even reflect the views of In the Conversation or Damian Lemon.
I'm just messing with you, Ali.
Talking shit.
Well, you know what? I do want to say this because I do feel like we should say this. Not that we need to say this, but I've been feeling this. These are podcast opinions and are subject to change. These shits are opinions that we put together because it's Tuesday and we got to have some shit for y'all to talk about or Wednesday. So next Tuesday, we might not feel the same way or we might feel the same way, but it is what it is.
Right. And you know, every man has a right to change his opinion.
Of course you do, man.
But you know what I'm saying? If you're asking my opinion today at
3:55 post Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
And last week and the week before and ever since, they went long for him. That's my opinion.
Dang. Okay.
There it goes. He has spoken. I started watching it. I seen one episode. You guys see the show 7 Seconds?
I watched 7 minutes of it, and when I found out the guy cop ran over a black kid, I couldn't.
He was done after that?
I was done. I'm going to watch it, but yeah. I just couldn't do it. How is it?
So far, it's pretty good. They got
Regina King.
They got Regina King.
I gotta watch it, but
I mean, I only saw, like I said, I saw one episode, but it was good. My man
Russell Hornsby.
Is that the guy that runs over the kid?
Russell Hornsby's a black guy.
It's a white cat. Okay. I've seen him in something before, but he's a good actor. It's a lot of good actors in it.
Yeah.
From the first episode that I saw,
I'm gonna watch it, but it was just like I got home late and I was like, oh man, I watched that Regina. I was like,
it's a lot of shit out to see.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Yeah. But I watched this show that it's on Netflix called Gomorrah.
I heard that's good.
It's about a crime family in Italy, and
I heard that's gruesome that too. It gets crazy.
They do not fuck around.
Yeah,
that show is pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you're looking for something like that. But yeah, two seasons of that.
Mm. Well, that's what's up. We gotta check out this Gomorrah. Ali, you want to say anything before we get out of here? Tell the people where you're gonna be. I mean, your West Coast
people. Party people, I'm gonna be back in the city. Back in the lab, trying to conjure up some new, fresh, groundbreaking material. And until then, I'll be on the gram at Mr. Muhammad, and that's primarily where I'll be. You know, you can catch me at Twitter on Mr. Muhammad too, but I just lurk there sometimes. I'm not there mostly, but Instagram, I'm pretty much there. You could check in with me there and follow along with the shit that's going on.
All right. Chris, tell the people where you're going to be.
You can catch me on Jessica Jones season 2.
Ooh.
Blink and You'll Miss Me part, but I'm there.
You in that bitch?
I'm in that joint. I think that comes out like March 8th. And then in April, you can catch me on The Last OG Tracy Morgan show. On yeah,
with Tiffany Haddish and Cedric, huh?
With Tiffany Haddish, I actually have a scene with her
and Chris Lampert.
Yeah, and
what
me.
What kind of scene? What kind of
love scene?
No, it's I'm a Lyft driver.
That's all I know. I'm a Lyft
driver.
And
you got the characters, boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm playing a cabbie this week. So
there you go.
But yeah,
you working?
I'm working.
Service.
Black actors. Service.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then if you
black actors.
And for your listeners and. And if you live in, in Pennsylvania, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area, I'm going to be headlining at Steel Stacks on April 5th.
And Steal them stacks, y'all.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun.
Go check them out there in Bethlehem. You ain't doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's going on in Bethlehem besides Baby Jesus and all of that? Shout out to Baby Jesus and Grown Jesus. You were done. You plug.
I'm good.
Plug
I'm good.
Pod.
Yeah.
I
have you find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Lambert. I also have a podcast called The Mundane Festival. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. Damien has been on the show, trying to get him back, and Ali's been on the show, and so yeah, it's a good pod.
Not trying to get him back.
I definitely want to have you. No, it was great. We went to where did we go? We had pizza. It was fucking awesome.
It was noisy, but it was good. It was festive.
It was a festive ass. Like you was talking to Quincy Jones and shit.
Definitely gonna have Damien back.
Ali, we don't know about yet. It's all good, man. I mean, sometimes these conversations are difficult. You know what I mean? shit. Look, Thursday I'm at Stand Up New York, so check me out. I'm also at West Side Comedy Club Friday and Saturday. Fuck with me there. And then, that's enough for right there. But you know what? If you're in Albany, get you some tickets. Gonna be at the Albany Funny Bone from March 15th through the 18th. Now, if you live in Minneapolis, shout out to Prince. I'm going to be there from March 20th to the 24th, so go ahead and get your tickets for that. And then also, if you live in Hartford, Connecticut, and you heard those beeps, you are not having a stroke. I will be at the Funny Bone Hartford from Wednesday, March 28th through the 31st. So get those tickets now. And if you want to really get crazy, you want to get stupid, May 15th through the 20th, I'll be at the Syracuse Funny Bowl. Tickets are available there. So let's go ahead and sell these spots out so we can have a good fucking time.
Big mall out there in Syracuse.
What I mean? A word? I'm going to have to check it out. And the original dinosaur.
Yeah.
But again, go ahead and buy them tickets so we can sell that shit out, have a good fucking time. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.